Now a reading from the precious word of God. Psalm 51, Psalm of David. When the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with the hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. O God, you are God, my Saviour, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I'd bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Amen.
Amen. Two fantastic psalms, no? David, after he fled Saul, sitting there and he's saying, God, shield me, protect me. And did God do that? David, after committing adultery with Bathsheba and all the things that were related to that, saying, cleanse me, forgive me. Did he? I think it's amazing that our God wants to protect us. Our God wants to forgive us. From all of our sins, brilliant. Great is his love, great is his grace, great is his compassion for each and every one of us. You know, when we wake up in the morning, we go to God with our petitions and our blessings, he doesn't say, no, I gave you enough yesterday. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I think that's exciting. No?
Yes.
Exciting. Lovely. Now, we're doing a wee series just now. What is the series we're doing?
Grace.
Grace. Now, the first week we were talking about what?
Grace.
Saving grace. That Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. Saving grace. It was free. But it wasn't cheap. The saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, what did we talk about? Forgiving grace. No matter how big your sins are, how small they are, how repetitious they are, God wants to forgive your sins. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Fantastic. Today, we're talking about God's sustaining grace. Now, do you remember this picture? Do you remember it?
Yes.
It was in the marathon, London marathon a few years ago. And the guy with the black on collapsed as he was running. Can't remember what the distance was. And this guy, who didn't even know him, went over, grabbed him like that, and took him right to the finish line. Do you remember that story? Incredible. Incredible. There's another story very like that, and it's a man called Derek Redmond. Do you remember his story? This was in the Olympics in 1992. And Derek had gone through some absolute ordeals. He had 5 operations prior to the Olympics. And he tried everything he could to get up to standard for the Olympics. And in the heats, he got his personal best. He was doing fantastic. And he thought, my 400 meters is going to be so good. And it came the day for the 400 meters. And it was a beautiful day. Climate was perfect. He was there. Got off to a brilliant start, 150 metres into the race, and his Hercules tendon snapped. He fell to the ground. He went, after all that work. And he looked over, and here he saw the ambulance men coming with the stretcher, and he went, no, that's not going to happen. And so he managed to get to his feet, and then all of a sudden he felt somebody grabbing his arm. And he looked to the side, and it was his dad. And his dad took his arm all the way to almost the finish line and let Derek cross the finish line by himself. And 65,000 people were standing, cheering, and saying how fantastic he was. His father was there. The steadfastness of his father. And we've got a steadfast God. That's going to be there until we finish the race. There's something about athletes, you know, people who enter the Olympics, they need to have speed, don't they? They need to have skills and abilities. And do you know what the last thing they need is?
Stamina.
Endurance. How's your endurance? How's your endurance today? Sometimes it's a wee bit wimpy, limp, weedy. I don't know what words you want to use. But goodness me. Look at this Bible verse, right, John? This is the Bible verse we're using for today. I am sure of this. Sure. Did you hear that? He who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Did you hear it? Paul says, I am sure, I'm certain, I don't have even the slightest bit of doubt that he who started a good work will. That's quite a positive word, isn't it? Will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say he might. It doesn't say he hopes to. It says he will. From the minute you said, I give you my life, Lord Jesus, from the minute you dedicated your life, he said to you, I will be with you to the end. I will never leave you or forsake you. That's quite a promise, isn't it? With us to the end, to the finish line, God's sustaining grace. He who began a good work will finish that good work. Bring it to completion. Endure successfulness to finish the steadfast grace of our Lord. So, what does steadfast mean?
Providing.
Abide. Oh, that's a good word, Patricia. Yeah, anything else? Well, we've already said it's enduring. It's certain of it. It's there. You know, life is like a marathon, isn't it? It's not a sprint. It goes on and on and on, and we don't find it always easy, do we? Or is your life hunky-dory? We go down valleys and we go up mountains. We have good days and we have bad days. And that's part of this marathon. But God says he wants to give us his steadfast grace. He wants to give us his power so we can go on and on and on. Isn't that great? Do you want to hear some more? Well, I thought of three times that I need God's sustaining grace in my life. Very simple. First, we need God's sustaining grace when we're tempted. Now, you're all sitting there with your halos nice and bright. I'm sure you never get tempted. I do. And when I get tempted, when you get tempted, we stumble. We fall. We're needing help. Look at this verse here. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Quite something else. I'm going to read you, probably in this version now. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Did you hear it? Yes. Be alert, be vigilant, be ready. Wow. As soon as we become Christians, that's when the battle starts. You know that? That's when we really start to be tempted. The devil wants to see us stumbling. He wants to see us falling. He wants to see us failing. Would you agree with me? You know, but when we become Christians, we no longer belong to the devil. But you know something? He wants us back. And so he watches us when we're going to stumble, when we're going to fall, when we'll be tempted, so that he can pounce on us like a roaring lion. All of us get tempted, don't we? To different degrees, but we all get tempted. Even Jesus was tempted, but never fell into sin. But when we are tempted is when we are needing that sustaining grace of God. I'm going to read you another verse from Corinthians. No temptation has overcome you, except such as is common to all men. Okay? So it's saying we're all tempted. But God is faithful. Amen. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond you are able. Did you hear that? But with temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So he's saying every time we are tempted, he provides an escape clause, a way out when we're tempted. Temptation is common to all man, as we've just read. But God is faithful. He'll not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can endure or beyond what we can escape. But it's not all fallen on God. We might have to do some things. You know, if you're tempted when you're watching the TV, do you know what you can do? You might not be aware of this, but you can change the channel. Or you can turn it off. When you're tempted in a situation, I'm sure the doors are not locked. You can walk out of that situation. You can change the way you think. You can change who you're hanging around with. You can stop doing whatever it is that's causing you to be tempted. You can turn the computer off. Escape. It's a promise from God, and that's part of his sustaining grace when we are tempted. Another point here. Right, John, point two, you're there. We need to God's sustaining grace when we're tired. Do you ever get tired? Always. When our energy is zapped, we're lacking strength. You know, what I hate is when you go to do a really simple job and it turns out it's a marathon, you know? My daughter, this is a silly story, but my daughter gave me a blouse the other day and she said, "Dad, can you just adjust the bottom a wee bit?" Now, those of you who so know what that means, you've got to unpick the whole seam. Then you put edging on. Then you've got to make sure your sewing machine is in a straight line. And I've ended up having to remodel the whole blouse. Now, that was meant to be a five-minute job, you know. You get tired. And that's when we're needing God's sustaining grace. Look at this verse. "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Oh, thank you, God. "My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I praise him." Oh, lovely. David relied on God. He relied on him when he was fleeing Saul. He relied on him after he was forgiven of all his sins. Wow. And because he relied on God, he was able to rejoice in his life with God. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble, and to comfort with which ourselves be comforted by God." Our God of all comfort. Is that not an amazing title? Our God of all comfort. And it says in that verse that not just that we feel good about being comforted, but we've also to comfort other people. Did you hear that? Help other people. Help them rise up. The God of all comfort. So when we're going through our trials, our tribulations, when we're exhausted, when we're tired, and we really can't be bothered, God is there with his steadfast grace. I mean, you know that the first thing that happens when you've even got a wee cold, you can't be bothered praying, can you? You can't be bothered reading your Bible. And that's where it comes to us to be the comforter to other people. That's why we visit people who are not well, so we can pray with them, so we can read the Bible with them, because they can't be bothered at that time. Wow. Some people say it's really hard to be a Christian. It is. But if you don't rely on Jesus Christ, it's impossible. Rely on him. He wants to give you strength. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. He's in the midst of that storm with you, and he wants to give you his power to give you steadfast grace when you're feeling tired. Our last wee point here. We need God's sustaining grace when we are troubled. Listen to this wee verse. I don't know if you've ever read this before. This was new, probably new to me this week anyway. I must have read it lots of times, but I haven't heard it. "Mankind is born for trouble, as surely as a spark flies upwards." We're born for trouble. There's no way we can evade it. We have to expect it. We have to expect difficulties. We have to expect obstacles. Now, what that doesn't mean is go home and sit in a chair and wait for it to arrive in your lap. Okay? It's going to happen, but we're still to do something about it. Situations will come, they'll be out of our control. But we've got a sustaining God, a God of sustaining grace. When that blow comes out of the blue and hits us fast, when that ton weight like a bag of potatoes is on our shoulder, when somebody rips that rug from under our feet, all these things that we're not expecting, we go, God help! And God's there. His sustaining grace to help you out of that situation, that troubled time. Amen. We need to hope. Now, I know you all know your Bible really well indeed, but what does it say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13? Ten points, Alison. Oh, I see. She cheated. No 10 points. We'll scrub that out. But you know the verse, don't you? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a verse, isn't it? It's on the wall outside, it is. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Do you believe that? Can you say it out loud? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things. Why? Because God gives me the strength. His sustaining grace in all situations and all circumstances. Isaiah said this, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you." Did you hear that? Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Our God is strengthening us. His sustaining grace. Lovely God, thank you. So how do we tap on to that sustaining grace? First of all, this is really, if you want something, what do? There we go. That's what we do first of all. We ask for God's sustaining grace. And we ask in prayer. We ask earnestly, fervently, passionately, emotionally. Wow. For God's sustaining grace. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If you ask, you will receive. Did you hear that? These are incredible verses. Ask God and he'll give it to you. The next way of tapping into God's sustaining grace is by studying his word. His word is so rich. It's our guide. It's our direction. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. His word. How often do we read it? How much do we read when we do read it? That's what it's there for guidance, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to fill us, to ease our path forward. Have it in your mind. Meditate on God's word. Start with that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Start somewhere and get it into your head. And he will relieve our life. And our last little bit altogether, to tap into God's sustaining grace, we need his promises. Rely on his promises. Do you know there's 7,000 promises in the Bible that have been written for you? Do you know that? And it's up to you to claim them. to rely on them. Listen to this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings of eagle, and they will run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen.
Amen.
That's for us. It's there for us to know God's powerful. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to overcome. He wants us to finish the race by his sustaining grace, the strength of his promises. You know, all of God's promises are a waste of time unless we claim them. I want that for my life, God. Put your hope in him. And we've got the precious hope of getting to eternity, heaven, the end of the race, where there'll be no more trials, no more tribulation, no more problems, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more grief, no more grumbling, because we'll be in glory. But God's sustaining grace is available for each one of us now. I don't know where you're at this morning, if you're feeling discouraged, you feel like giving up, if you're tempted, if you're tired, if you're troubled. But God's sustaining grace is available for you now, today. Do you remember Paul? Paul was going through some absolute hassles. He was really at the end of his tether. And he begged God 3 times to help him. Look at what he said. The Lord said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." Did you hear that? That's for you. Whatever you're going through today, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." God's sustaining grace available for you and for me, no matter what we're going through today. Let's pray. Our loving God, we do thank you for your living word. And Lord, we ask that you will give us an appetite for reading more of it, for applying it into our lives, into our heads, into our hearts, that we can live on your promises. We can live knowing your sustaining grace today and forever. Let's believe that. Amen. And let's sing a triumphant song to finish with. The battle belongs to the Lord. All our trials, tribulations, not important, because God has already won them. He's in control.